Ukraine security issue.
The Security Service of Ukraine, the General Staff of the Armed Forces, the main intelligence directorate of the Defense Ministry, and the Ombudsman's Office have issued a joint statement condemning the mass killing of Ukrainian prisoners of war in a correctional facility located in the Russia-controlled settlement of Olenivka, Donetsk region. In the statement supported by President Volodymyr Zelensky, the signatories demand that the United Nations and the International Committee of the Red Cross, as the safety guarantors of the Ukrainian prisoners of war, send their representatives to Olenivka for an inspection and investigation, says Ombudsman Дмитро Любинець.
Органи міжнародники, вони повинні туди приїхати. Вони, на наш погляд, вони повинні взяти всі матеріали.
Representatives of international organizations must come to Olenivka and collect all evidence and materials for tests. That must be done not by Ukrainian or Russian forensic and ballistic experts, but experts from different international institutions, in order to investigate this crime objectively. Secondly, they must visit the wounded prisoners. Russia breached all its agreements again, but this time it breached the agreements with obligations and promises to international institutions, primarily the United Nations, said Дмитро Любинець. President Volodymyr Zelensky said in his daily address that it was a crime and called on the international community to declare Russia a sponsor of terrorism.
Це був свідомий російський воєнний злочин, свідоме масове вбивство українських військовополонених.
It is a deliberate Russian war crime, a deliberate mass murder of Ukrainian prisoners of war, more than 50 dead. When the defenders of Azovstal were leaving the plant to surrender, the United Nations and the International Committee of the Red Cross guaranteed their safety. Now the guarantors must respond. They must protect the lives of hundreds of Ukrainian prisoners of war. And let me add, Russia must be legally defined as a sponsor of terrorism. This appeal is first of all to the United States, and it must act now. Russia has proven by numerous terrorist acts that it is the biggest source of terrorism in the world. It's a fact, said Volodymyr Zelensky. The US Department of State, however, is doubtful whether the recognition of Russia as a sponsor of terrorism would allow for more sanctions against it. As State Secretary Antony Blinken explained, new sanctions imposed on Russia as a sponsor of terrorism would only replicate those already in place. At the same time, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham believes that the current sanctions against Russia are good, but there is more to be done. According to him, the status of a sponsor of terrorism would automatically incur new sanctions that would further ruin Russia's economy. It would also lift the legal barriers that preclude natural persons to sue foreign governments and demand reimbursement of damage. This concerns in particular the families of American volunteers killed or wounded in the Russian-Ukrainian war. However, according to analysts interviewed by the New York Times, believe that the step could break the last remaining diplomatic ties between Washington and Moscow. In the Donetsk region, the police started an operation to rescue children. In cities and villages, almost 500,000 large families with 1,672 children remain on the fire line. Most of them live in Toretsk and Velika Novoselka. Since the beginning of Russia's full-scale war against Ukraine, at least 154 children have died in the Donetsk region, reports the Prosecutor General's office. As a result of hostilities in the Donbas, people die every day. On Friday, the invaders killed 6 and wounded 15 people, said Pavlo Kirilenko, head of the Donetsk Region Military Administration. On Saturday morning, the Russians launched airstrikes on Slovyansk, Krasnohorivka and Siversky. The General Staff of the Ukrainian Armed Forces reported several unsuccessful offensive attempts along the Avdiivka-Bakhmut axis. Also, according to the report, Ukrainian paratroopers shot down a Russian Sukhoi 25 armored assault aircraft from a portable launcher. In the Luhansk region, according to Governor Serhii Haidai, the enemy forces failed to make any breakthroughs or territorial gains, as all their attacks were repelled. Several Russian missiles again targeted Kharkiv on Saturday morning. One of them destroyed a school. The missiles were fired from an S-300 anti-aircraft system. The death toll from Friday's missile strike on Mykolaiv has risen to 7. 19 wounded civilians are in hospital. Meanwhile, the Ukrainian armed forces stopped an offensive of Russian troops in the Kherson region. The invaders are reported to be transferring additional personnel to fortify their positions in the Kherson region. At the same time, Russian aircraft continue to attack Ukrainian cities and villages. On Friday, they struck Ukrainian positions 4 times. Fortunately, there were no losses. According to Vladislav Nazarov, spokesman for the South Operation Command, the Ukrainian armed forces control the main transport routes and communication lines in the occupied part of the Kherson region. Currently, traffic on the railway bridge across the Dnipro River is impossible. Nazarov said that on Friday, Ukrainian battle aircraft struck Russian positions 7 times, eliminating over 100 Russian soldiers and destroying their command post and several ammunition depots. According to Deputy Defense Minister Hanna Mahler, Russia is trying to implement economic, educational, and industrial integration of the occupied Ukrainian territories into Russia. They force locals to receive Russian passports in order to set conditions for holding a sham referendum in September on the accession of the seized Ukrainian territories to Russia. Most of the Ukrainian citizens who stay in the temporarily occupied territories do not support the occupiers and refuse to receive Russian passports, said Hanna Mahler. The British intelligence reported that Russia is preparing to annex the occupied Ukrainian territories, according to the Crimean scenario of 2014. According to the transcript of the Vatican News, Pope Francis said he had to limit the intensity of his travels due to his health condition, but reconfirmed his plans to visit Ukraine. The pontiff stressed that refusing to be the pope is always an opportunity. However, he admitted that he had not seriously thought about it yet. Pope Francis also noted that in mid-September, he would like to attend a Congress of religious leaders in Kazakhstan. Previously, on the eve of the penitential pilgrimage to Canada, Pope Francis said he wanted to come to Ukraine to end the war.